The Fed is pouring more liquid plumber down the clogged up credit market drain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The latest Drano-like concoction for the credit markets is a new recipe whipped up by the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. Good to have you along this morning as we continue with Fallout, our coverage of America's financial crisis. We're joined by Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. He's following the developments of this latest emergency move from the Fed and the Treasury. Hi, Jeremy. It sounds like we're just getting the details about a plan now to pick up massive amounts of short-term debts.
Well, that's right, Renita. It has just happened in the last hour. We were hearing rumors of it earlier today. But basically what the Fed is going to do is it's going to set up a special vehicle to buy up commercial paper, both asset-backed commercial paper with collateral behind it and unsecured commercial paper. It's doing so in conjunction with the Treasury Department, and it's doing so in an effort to get cash to the companies all across this country that so desperately need it right now.
Okay, Jeremy, before we get any further with this, can you explain to us what commercial paper is exactly?
Yeah, it's a funding mechanism used by corporations and municipalities to finance their day-to-day operations, everything from paying employees to buying supplies that they need on a day-to-day basis. Now, typically, it's more cost-effective than taking out a credit line because it's usually cheaper, although currently it's quite expensive and difficult for companies to get the loans that they need. No one's buying commercial paper right now because they're afraid of the solvency of the companies taking out those loans. So the Fed, Renita, again, is stepping in this morning.
Stepping in with what is a pretty radical move, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. It shows that the Fed knows that the credit markets have completely frozen up. Nobody is willing to lend money, and the economy needs that money to be flowing on a day-to-day basis in order for everything to work the way it should. For Wall Street, what it means this morning is a glimmer of hope that maybe these credit markets are finally going to unfreeze.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Renita.
Fed Chief Ben Bernanke is set to talk about the economy in Washington this afternoon. So far, it looks like Wall Street is cheering the commercial paper move. The Dow is back up above the 10,000 mark, 10,006 to be exact, about 0.5%. Now, yesterday, the Dow plunged 800 points before closing with a loss of 370 points. The Nasdaq is flat at 1862. The S&P 500 is up about 5 points, nearly 0.5% to 1061. Europe likes the Fed decision, too. Markets are up across the board. London's FTSE is up 2.5%. Asian shares were mixed. Australia really stunned markets today with its steepest interest rate cut in 16 years, a full percentage point. We're seeing more than ever the close relationship between markets around the world. That's why Wall Street is also keeping an eye today on talks in Luxembourg about finding a euro solution to the financial crisis. But as our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports, a coordinated plan of action seems unlikely.
The 15 finance ministers from the Eurozone countries met in Luxembourg yesterday. Today they're joined by their counterparts from the other 12 EU member states. Yesterday, the Euro 15 failed to come up with a common plan, so the likelihood of the EU 27 doing so seems even more remote. Bank deposit protection is one of the main areas of discussion, but there seems little stomach for a uniform level of guarantees across the EU. Ireland and others unilaterally imposed their own 100% cover, causing fear of an outflow from other states. The best hope at the moment of unity seems to be on the monetary front. The belief is growing that the European Central Bank, the Bank of England and the Fed may soon cut interest rates in a coordinated move. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, October 7th at marketplace.org. Later today, former executives from AIG will testify on Capitol Hill about their company's near collapse. They can expect a couple dozen very angry members of Congress. Marketplace's Steve Henn has that story.
According to one accountant who's reviewed AIG's books, executives there sold billions in financial insurance or credit default swaps without really understanding what they were getting into. These contracts guaranteed the value of mortgage-backed securities against default. And just over a year ago, executives at AIG said publicly they didn't expect these deals to cost the company a dime. Months later, AIG had to set aside $1 billion to cover losses, then $5 billion. Then in February, its accountant said the company had a material weakness on its books. Basically, it had no clue what the downside was. John Coffey's a securities law expert at Columbia University.
This is exactly in the area where AIG later incurred its extraordinary losses.
By June, those losses were $14 billion. As of late last week, AIG had borrowed more than $61 billion from the federal government to cover the ballooning costs. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
With the financial crisis looking more dire, the economy has, of course, become an even bigger issue in the upcoming elections. Don't forget, we've got another debate tonight. As part of our series, Interested Parties, we're talking to different voters around the country and getting their thoughts about the economy and what the next president and Congress should do about it. Today, we hear from Rafiq Jaber, a certified financial planner from Illinois.
The way I look at it, actually, one of the worst things that happens, the deregulations. And that made the people very greedy. And people naturally, I believe people are greedy naturally. I don't believe in too much restrictions because we need the economy to work. And we're going to give some freedom to the people and the businesses to operate and make capital and grow and make jobs and so forth. But at the same thing, you cannot let people just free completely. It's like real society. We can't let people drive the way they want to, the speed they want to, and this is because they are free. No, we have to have some restriction. We have to have some speed limits, and we have to have stop signs and stop lights and so forth. And one of the things, people, they have to be honest. That's honesty is very important when you deal with business, even if there's no regulations. People should be self-regulated. If they have a conscience, if they have certain religious beliefs that think that they, you know, that they will be accountable. If not accountable in this life, they will be accountable in the next life.
This installment of Interested Parties was produced by Adrian Hill. Now, as we continue Interested Parties, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman pulled into a truck stop in Portland, Oregon to find out what some independent truckers think.
The Jubitz Travel Center is the creme de la creme of truck stops, with a hotel, a country music lounge, a cinema, even a church meeting for truckers, none of which takes the sting out of filling up with diesel at more than $4 a gallon.
But I remember, you know, fueling right here when fuel was less than a dollar a gallon. It wasn't that long ago.
That's Howard Hart. He visits truck stops all over the country for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. Hart says what gets truckers hot under the hood is when trucking companies pocket customer fuel surcharges instead of passing them on to drivers who pay at the pump. Hart's association is pushing legislation on the issue. Truck driver Gary Fallon is from Missoula, Montana.
I don't know about the government involvement. I don't know if they should have to take care of our business like that, but I think it just ought to be more open books so everybody can see if it's being passed on like it ought to be.
That feds get off my back mentality is common at the truck stop. Robert Johnson is a driver out of Sacramento.
When it comes to taking care of myself, I'll take the personal responsibility, and I really don't want the government involved in it.
Still, Johnson rails against laws that say he can't idle his truck and run the AC, even in 100-degree heat, and don't even get him started on the condition of America's highways.
The roads are pretty deplorable in some states, and traffic and congestion, and just too many cars on the road and all competing for the same piece of asphalt.
Florida trucker Amy Sparkland says that makes it more dangerous for everyone, from drivers of 18-wheelers to compacts.
46 years I've been in commercial driving. And it's getting worse. There's a lot of road rage, and there's a lot of discourteous drivers.
Sparkland suggests government provide an educational CD with every driver's license. It wouldn't hurt, she says, to add lanes and fix roads and bridges, but with the economy in such trouble, she doesn't hold out much hope. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
For more on our series, go to marketplace.org and click on the Interested Parties link. Final note for you, a General Motors official says the automaker could consider selling its downtown Detroit headquarters as part of a way to raise cash, but it does plan to stay in the towering complex. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the day. American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.